Good morning. There are two readings this morning, is Mark 13 verses 1 to 8 and Hebrews 10 verses 11 to 25, and we're doing it out of the New International Version. Mark 13, the destruction of the temple and signs of the end times. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains." Then out of Hebrews 10. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. A call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hopes we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." May the Lord bless this reading.
Sometimes the work of God in transforming our lives is not easy. We have a strong theology of resurrection, of new life, of new start. And also, we have a strong theology of death. Jesus said, in reference again to the temple, that, in reference to himself, that destroy this temple, meaning his own body, and in 3 days. It would be rebuilt again. So rebuilding after breaking down, after destruction. We like the rebuilding. We don't kind of like in our own lives maybe necessarily the hard, the destruction side of it. But in Christianity we have the strong belief in death and resurrection. Destruction and rebirth. We have in our history the history of the city of Napier. Earthquake destroyed its inner city. But now the Art Deco buildings are a tourist attraction for many people as they go in on the liners to have a look at what happened. And of course we have in process the rebuilding of Christchurch after earthquakes, and the hope that is there, and already the good work that is going on. Destruction, rebuild, rebirthing after breaking down. Jesus looked across at the temple and he prophesied its destruction. Not one stone would be left on another. And when privately asked when this would happen by Peter, James and John, Jesus cryptically begins to speak about the end times. This is the beginning of the end times, he says. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote after Jesus' death and resurrection, but before the destruction of the temple in AD 70. And the writer developed their argument to a young church as it worked out its faith and its life. The temple system, with its continual sacrificing of animals for the forgiveness of sins, was not necessary because of the once and for all sacrifice of Christ, the spotless lamb, the perfect sacrifice. The ministry of the priests in making offerings over and over again was not needed because through the death of Christ, the curtain in the temple was ripped in two. The dividing wall was broken down between God and people. All people have access to the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And where people were once governed by a law which was external to them, given to them through their religious system, now the law of God would be placed in their hearts and on their minds. There would be internal direction and internal motivation because the Holy Spirit had been given. And now the Holy Spirit is living in every believer and guides and motivates us day by day. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, a new and living way has been made. The context of Hebrews is also of the end times. The phrase, as you see the day approaching, is a reference to the return of Christ. And some of our songs today have referenced that as well. We're going to do two things briefly in our time that we have left today. We're going to look at the process of destruction and rebirth in our lives, and then we're going to look at the points at the end of the passage where the writer of Hebrews looks at how we should live and how we should be in this day. So firstly, are we able to identify things which have been or are being destroyed, broken down, dismantled in our lives? Might be an unhelpful habit, a dependent relationship, a sin we so easily fall into, or a pattern of behavior that we find difficult to break out of. It might be a way of faulty thinking expressing itself in negativity and prejudice. It might be reliance on something that we've always had and always taken for granted. The breaking process, being broken, is really tough and a painful thing. And we tend to resist at all costs the depth of pain which letting go of the past in order to step into the future might hold. Breaking involves pain and grief. We can unconsciously want to hold on to the belief, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. And so we can prefer to stay with what we know, even though what we know is destructive in our lives. However, if the Holy Spirit is to transform us, then the old must be dismantled. Breaking the past can sometimes feel like a wrecking ball pounding against our stubborn ways. Just like those reno programs on TV, a renovation to a good thing to a new thing, to something beautiful, often starts with a sledgehammer. But remember, call to mind the prophecy, it's not by might, it's not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord, this mountain will be removed. Our job is to surrender ourselves to God's good work in our lives. Hold that. We'll come to praying through that in a moment. The second part of today is to identify the ongoing work of God in our lives. What sort of transformation is talked about in Hebrews chapter 10? How shall we live? The first is this: let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I hope you like lettuces, because there are three lettuces in this passage in a row. Let us approach. Because Christ opened the way for us, we are urged to confidently approach God. There's no need to fear, a fear that would prevent us from coming to God. We have no need to hold on to the guilt about our sin, because our consciences have been sprinkled clean. God wants us every day to come to Him. God wants us to live openly and freely in relationship with Him. When we fall, we bring it to Him. When we run strongly and do really well, we rejoice in Him. Neither the failure nor our success are to hold us from approaching the throne of grace. Let us approach with a true heart. Second, let us to chew on. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. One of the main purposes of the book of Hebrews is to call people in difficult times to persevere in faith. And it might seem for us as though our lives at times, faith is too hard. Our expectations of God are not met. It's easiest just to go with the flow along with everyone around us. But no, we are to hold fast to our faith, not looking to the left or to the right, but focusing on the One who is faithful. Remember God's promise. My word that goes out from my mouth, this is Isaiah 55, will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. God is faithful to deliver on His promises. Third, let us. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In the book of Romans, Paul taught that the law written on our hearts and in our minds, as Hebrews imagery, is a law of love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. And so we are to consider how we are to provoke, stir one another up to love and good works. People who were being written to in this book of Hebrews were encountering persecution based on bigotry and ignorance. People did not want to enter into the new and living way of Christ. The old ways were established, the old Roman authority and religious practices, and that had to be stuck to stubbornly for the stability of the empire. But no, they were to be known for their love and their good works. In the face of persecution, they were to be known by love and good works. They weren't going to win the Roman Empire with argument or force or being. They were going to win the Roman Empire by love and good works. And so, when we are tempted to return evil for evil and to take an eye for an eye, it's the gathered community which holds us to what faithful behavior looks like. We are to bless those who curse us and pray for those who persecute. We are not to repay evil with evil. We are to repay evil with good. We are not. It's the community working at its best which provokes us, encourages us into the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. It's counterintuitive behavior when all our emotions tell us that we want to fight back and lash out. And even more as we see the day approaching, talk of the end times scares some. But consider Jesus spoke about the destruction of the temple being the beginning of the end. And we've been in the end times for now then 2,000 years. Not that we become complacent, Scripture says not to. But the purpose of Scripture is not to reduce us to a crippling fear, to distract us from what we must do. It is to encourage us on to faithful action and to let God do God's work and work God's purposes out in history. So, as we close, what is being broken down in our lives? Maybe at the moment there's nothing that you identify as under pressure of being deconstructed in order to be reconstructed. And that's good, you can rejoice in that, but you can probably identify times in your life when you've been asked to let things go. For now though, we're going to pause and commit to the Lord the things we might be in our present struggling with, and then we'll look to the transformation which God is making in our lives. Let's pray. Loving God, we trust that you are good and that you are involved in our lives to transform us and to make us new. Holy Spirit, have your way. Even though the pain of being broken is hard to bear, we surrender to your good purposes. Shape us. Mold us into your image. Please help us to leave behind those things which are not of you. Although we don't like the past habits and patterns being destroyed, because they're all we know, help us to trust you that you do give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. You do bring joy and peace. And Lord, help us to persevere in faith in you. Help us moment by moment, day by day, to approach you without fear or guilt. Help us to press on with love and good works. Help us to spur one another on and be encouragers together. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Jeremiah 31, verse 28. Again, the destruction, but an earlier destruction of the temple. In the past, I deliberately uprooted and tore down this nation. I overthrew it, destroyed it, and brought disaster upon it, God speaking. But in the future, I will deliberately plant it and build it up. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen. Amen.